We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close. It's Paul Hamilton. Mamma mia, here I go again. Mama, how can I resist you? Mamma mia, does it show again? Mama, just how much I missed you. Yes, I'll be broken hearted. Blues was the day we parted. Why did I ever let you go? Mamma mia, now I really know.
Mama, got Marty singing. JJ grinning and Paul Hamilton blushing. What's this all about, Bone?
I don't even know why. I like ABBA. It's fine. And so somebody made an open on it. Brayden might remember, but
I did make the open for it. This was back, I think, at the 2016 World Championships. I think it was a whole controversy because Sweden changed their goal song to be "Mamma Mia" by ABBA. And I thought it was great. I think it's a great goal song for Sweden, but a lot of people from Sweden hated it because the original one that they made for the 2014 World Juniors has stuck with them and they wanted to keep it. So we had Paul on and talking about the World Juniors, and Paul was just like, well, I really love ABBA. And I'm just like, well, I guess that's an open for you now.
And it just stuck. Anything ABBA's good to me. I'll tell you
that. And you know what? And you know what? Brayden gets the credit, too, for a little bit of this and a little bit of that for this or that for putting that... montage together the other day.
You an ABBA fan, Andrew?
Oh, absolutely right I am. Are you kidding me? I think Waterloo is my favorite song.
What?
Waterloo.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. I think, like, you think of winning songs, like Team Sweden wins, and then what do you play? You play "The Winner Takes It All," and then
God.
"The Loser."
It's gotta be.
That's a great song.
Pauly Hamilton joins the show, if you haven't figured that out already. Hour number two, Darren Dreger going to join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk everything CBA ratification and return to play, Hobbs, bubble, all of it. But we have some calls. We have a call on the line. We have Mark in Buffalo. We were talking draft lottery back all the way at the start of the show when Bone came on. Not a fan of the lottery. I don't want to put words in your mouth. That is what you said.
That is correct.
Okay, not a fan of the lottery. I won't repeat everything he said because we got Mark on the line. So, Mark, you're on the line, and you wanted to talk to Paul, so here's your moment. How about it?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Paul, welcome
back.
It's been way overdue. Best beat reporter in Buffalo, no doubt, hands down. So good to hear your voice.
No time limit for you today, Mark, by the way. So go for it.
Oh, really? Come on, Andrew. You always put a limit on me.
Yeah, well, you can have a little bit longer today.
I appreciate it. Well, my thought, this draft thing is one of the things that drives me crazy. A couple of thoughts. First of all, one of the worst things to be in sports, but especially in hockey, is middle-of-the-pack team. You never really have a shot at a franchise-changing player. but you may be doing decent things and to keep your team competitive and maybe just in the playoffs or just outside the playoffs year in and year out. So you sort of get penalized for doing things decently. And it always drove me crazy as to why we automatically give the top pick, if you're going to have a lottery, to the worst team in the league if they're consistently not developing players, not making good decisions, not managing their cap, you know, not running their team well, and then they get the no-brainer pick. I mean, the top two, three guys in the NHL draft typically can be made by any novice hockey fan year in and year out. So there's nothing special about, you know, it doesn't take brains to draft McDavid or Eichel or Jack Hughes or guys like that. So my thought is, why is it not that the NHL, if they were so worried about tanking, why doesn't every team outside the playoffs just get one ball and you draw them down? That eliminates tanking. It doesn't matter where you finish outside the playoffs. You're always trying to get better. You're trying to win. And teams that are in the middle of the pack may have a shot at franchise-changing player. And the teams outside, you know, down at the bottom that aren't doing things well, they don't automatically get rewarded. I was just curious as to what you guys thought of that thought process.
I'll start off. I don't like that. Just from a fact, you might get a goofy year where the Pittsburgh Penguins don't make the playoffs or something like that. And all of a sudden, like this year, should they lose in this first round, they will have equal opportunity to get the first overall pick. And you would then have the opportunity to get the best player available to put him in there with Malkin and Crosby and Gensel. And I just don't think, to me, they don't deserve that. So I still believe... And, yeah, tanking goes on, and I understand that. But as Marty and I and Petey said earlier, players don't tank. You know, yeah, organizations do and GMs do. Coaches and players do not tank. They want to win. They try to win. And just the draft lottery, to me, just doesn't work. And I would just go back to the old system of flipping the standings.
That would be hard to take if they did that, Paulie, because, you know, as much as I like Jack, love Jack, and I think he's going to be, I mean, he's only, his ceiling is even, we're not even to a ceiling yet, I don't think. I mean, he could be by far the best two-way player in the league if he decides to embrace defensive play along with his offensive ability. But,
and he's gotten better at it. He's gotten a lot better at it.
Yeah, exactly. But to not... You know, to them reinstate your bottom team gets first pick after we miss out on McDavid would be really hard to take. So, as a fan. But again, I'm not too disappointed to have Jack on our team. And, you know, in the big picture of a hockey fan and what I believe what it takes to be a winning hockey team, in the long run, I could argue that Jack could be a better 200-foot player than McDavid. So, I mean, as dynamic as McDavid is and as fun to watch as he is, I don't believe that he's put out there in certain situations that I think Jack could be on a winning hockey team. So,
Mark, thank you for the call, and I believe everybody shares the same sentiments you do about P-Ham. So appreciate the call in. All right, Mark's gone.
Here's what I would say, I don't like giving everybody one ball. If you miss the playoff lottery, boom. Because there is a big difference in the standings between a team that just misses the playoff. And if we looked at the standing this season, you have Vancouver at 78 points, Rangers 79, Calgary 79, Winnipeg at 80 points, and they would have missed the playoffs on point percentage. And then you have Anaheim at 67, LA 64, San Jose 63. So there's like almost 20 points difference. Now, the way that the odds are, obviously the top, you know, seven, well, the bottom seven, eight teams have the biggest odds to get it. And I see why they're doing that. But to give everybody, if you're going to have a draft lottery, the way it is, I'm fine with it. On a regular year. This year was a little wonky, but on a regular year, I'm okay with it to have a draft lottery or just go back to the old way. But don't change a draft lottery to do something new with it, because it's always going to be a draft lottery. It's never going to be perfect. Either you stick with what you got or you go back to 31st, 30th, 29th, 28th, 27th, and you go that way. It's this or that.
Paul Hamilton on the show. Thanks for the call, Mark. Bone, I want to go back to what the options are with the 8th overall pick. So what happens if come draft time there is no second line center that fits the criteria that we're talking about, maybe mid-20s? You know, what do you do then? Are you forcing a trade with this pick? Are you opposed to making the pick? There are some very good young players. And what are some other avenues? Like, we've talked about maybe acquiring a guy like, maybe not necessarily him, but a Travis Zajac or someone like that as a stopgap second line centerman who has some good experience in the league.
Well, I'm not going to give up that pick for Zajac, that's for sure.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, you would get Zajac a different way or that player a different way, not with the 8th pick.
I don't mind if you got a guy who might have 2 years left on his deal, because you could still ease Dylan Cousins into the lineup. I think, we don't know, because he hasn't even played an NHL game or a professional game, but from what I've seen in training camp, what I've seen at the World Juniors, what I've seen in his junior career, I believe that Dylan Cousins can develop into that player. So if you get that stopgap player who's on maybe two or three more years left on his deal, ideally maybe two, I think you can then properly develop Cousins. Don't put a lot of pressure on him, and then he might be ready to step into that role when that player's contract's over. So absolutely, I would be totally open to that. As far as forcing the pick or forcing a trade, absolutely not. If I'm not getting, if it's not part of a blockbuster trade for a superstar on the wing or getting that number two center that they desperately need, I make the pick. You know, there should be some good guys available with that pick. Cole Perfetti could be there. Alexander Holtz could be there. Lucas Raymond could be there. Others, was just to name a few. I mean, those are guys that are projected to be good hockey players in the NHL that are going to need development. So, no, I would not really say, well, I've got to trade this pick and get some sort of player. It has to be the right guy.
Marty, you took a big sigh there. You're not enjoying this topic, are you? As you keep yourself muted.
As I unmute myself, I'm sorry. The cat was like coming over and wanted to press on every button. So here's the thing. I almost don't even want to study the prospects this year, because my idea of wanting to field a competitive team and move forward with there's a lot of changes that happen with the organization. And those changes, I want them to reflect the direction of the organization. Those changes and what the team is doing and what the organization is doing, I wanted to bridge that gap that has forged itself between the fan base and the organization and the players. Right now, drafting a player 8 overall, you're telling the fans, hey, we'll see that player in 4 years from now.
I get that. So you're saying, so what if it's not? So what are you? So it sounds to me like you're taking the position of you want that pick gone for anything. So what if it's not for a centerman? What if you can't force someone else's hand? You know, are you happy? Are you going for a winger? Or you want another defenseman, a goalie? I mean,
I would love that player to be a centerman. Don't get me wrong, okay? Because I think it would definitely fix an issue. But I'm okay if you're getting a top quality player that is a top six guy that will get you the numbers, the production, that will score you the goals that you need, because the Sabres need more than anything else is to score more goals. They need to score more goals. You can't be 25th, 28th, 24th in goal scoring year after year after year after year. It doesn't get you in the top 16 to make the playoffs. They need to score more goals. So, yeah, I would like it to
and
be
you,
a standard,
and you don't but... think and I'm not, I shouldn't say you don't think, but I'm saying, aren't there pieces? I think there are pieces on this team that you could package without maybe having to use that eighth overall pick and maybe try to reshape your roster that way first by picking off players on your team that you know won't be here long term, or maybe you might have to pay too much money to.
Yeah, but I look at the New York Rangers, okay? They lost Kevin Hayes, and then he moved and whatever. And then they had an issue. Their middle line was not strong. Their center line right now is Zibanejad, but after that, you got Ryan Strome and Brett Howden and whatever. I mean, their middle line is not great. What did they do? They go and get Artemi Panarin. Superstar, okay? Free agent, lots of money. I get that. But they didn't really fixate on the center position. They said, if we can add 40 goals from the wing, we need goals. We need to score goals. So, yes, I would love it to be a center. But as Paul just said, a top-notch forward, more preferably a center, but if not, a top-notch forward that will give you the stability in the top six. Eichel, Olofsson, Skinner, Reinhardt. Like, you need that six to be, like, six really, really good player.
Paul, how would you rather structure that deal? Would you rather try to trade? Would you rather make that pick and get one of those players that you just mentioned, or and try to package in your potential, is Casey Mittelstadt, Ryan Johnson, or Tage Thompson would be your three young prospects, because Dylan Cousins isn't on the table. He's an untouchable.
Oh, absolutely. Any of those guys you mentioned other than Dylan Cousins, I definitely would be open to. I have to say, it's definitely not over for Casey Mittelstadt, but I have to say I'm very worried about, you know, his growth right now. It took him a long time to get it in Rochester, and I don't know if he totally got it. I haven't seen a lot of promise in his NHL game. At all, and a lot of it has to do with, I think, conditioning and strength and those types of things. And is he going to do the things necessary to be better in that? So I definitely would be open to a Casey Mittelstadt trade worked into something like that to get talent. This team needs talent, and if you can get a very good offensive player and the number eight pick is involved, I'm absolutely all for it.
Yep.
The Casey Mittelstadt conversation is really interesting.
And I feel bad. Listen, I feel bad for a guy like Casey because he's trying. And I think there's a care, there's a commitment to it. But again, I want to connect the organization, the fan base, boom, in many different levels. And one is, can't keep asking for fans to wait 3-4 years until that player develops, until draft pick develops. It has to happen now. It has to happen now. So that's where the connection has to be.
We'll be right back. What's going to happen right now is, well, Darren Dreger at 11:30, but return to play. And here's the question I have. When will we believe this is actually happening? Because there are some concerns Bob McKenzie brought up. We'll talk about it with Darren Dreger on the other side of the break. Instigators, every Friday right here, Dregs joins us at 11:30. We'll be right back. WGR 550.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, it's 11:30. If you're looking for Darren Dreger, you can find him right here on the Instigators along with myself, Marty Biron, and the great Paul Hamilton joins us today. Dregs, what's going on? Say hi to our man, Paul Hamilton.
Hey, Paul, hope everything is well. It is hot here. I'm sure it's hot there. I'm supposed to play golf this afternoon. I'm contemplating not playing golf this afternoon with a humidex of well over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So I've got a tough decision to make. That's about as difficult as my day gets.
Well, Dregs, it's good to talk to you again. What is that in Celsius, the 90 to 100 40. Degrees?
Yeah, well, 40. I mean, it's 32 on my truck right now, but with the Humidex, it's pushing 40, 42 Celsius.
Hey, Dregs, how about you get out and play a round of golf? I played it yesterday at 4 o'clock. It was really comfortable.
Yeah. I'm planning, Marty. I don't know. It's going to be a big hydration day today, to be sure. I'm going to have to throw in a couple of waters with the Bud Light this afternoon.
Well, speaking of hot, Lindy Ruff's the devil.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about, you know, the candidates were that were likely going to get the job. And Lindy's name was introduced early, and I don't think anyone was at all surprised that the New Jersey Devils went that direction. But first they had to retain Tom Fitzgerald as general manager. I mean, you can't have an interim general manager hire a coach and then ownership go a different direction with management. That's dysfunctional. So when they retain Fitzy, then you look at the relationship between Fitzgerald and Lindy Ruff, and there's a pretty big history there, those two gentlemen. Well, Lindy Ruff was in heady footing. I mean, there were a number of really qualified candidates, and Peter Laviolette, formerly of the Nashville Predators, was among them. So I like the hire. You know, you guys know Lindy Ruff very, very well as former coach of the Buffalo Sabres. One thing he's going to bring to a young team in New Jersey is accountability and stability, and I think they could use both.
Stability, you know, I'm just trying to just keep playing off everything we're doing here. But you say stability, it sounds like there's stability with the PA and the league in terms of a CBA, but are we going to hear everything get ratified for the return to play? Anything, any bumps in the road, or you think that'll be smooth sailing?
I think it's going to be smooth sailing, Petey. You know, not to say that there haven't been bumps in the road. I mean, that's what, you know, full-scale negotiations include. And how convoluted and complex was this one? Because it wasn't just about the return-to-play protocols and the hub cities and the CBA. I mean, it was like everything. It was everything included in that. So, you know, this stuff can be eye-glazing at the best of times. You know, you pour yourself into trying to learn the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, I can't tell you a number of times that I've fallen asleep at night, historically speaking, trying to go through parts of the existing CBA. So then you add on the return to play protocols and the back and forth between the Players Association and the National Hockey League, and the concerns, you know, the players, not just the players on the committee, but, you know, the reps around the National Hockey League, and they take that back to Don Fearon, the executive director. And then you get into the collective bargaining agreement, and it seems like you're right at that finish line. And then maybe the league comes back and says, well, we like it, and we're okay with giving you this, but we need that, you know, in return. And then you add another layer, and days go by. So in a long-winded way, I guess I want to give credit to all because to get through the mountain of work that they've had to go through to get to today, where the vote from the full membership should be completed. There's a Board of Governors conference call. So we could have full ratification of everything I've just said by later today, late afternoon or early evening.
Dregs, baseball made a mess of their negotiations in public between the players and the league and everything. How cognizant was the NHL of that to kind of keep their business behind closed doors, knowing that there had to be cooperation to get this done and to get it done after the PR nightmare baseball had?
Right. You know, I don't know that the league or the Players Association, hockey related, were too concerned with what was going on with baseball. But I think that they learned something in dealing with COVID-19, you know, especially in the early stages, where they both sides recognized, certainly the leaders, you know, Bettman and Don Fear recognized the only way to work through this was to do so with solidarity and do so arm in arm. And perhaps that carried over into the final negotiations of the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, it's important to note that negotiations on the CBA had started before the pause, you know, in mid-March. So they had some of the work done, but I think that both sides recognized very quickly that the tens of millions, well, now north of $1 billion in lost revenue, wasn't going to get resurrected or corrected in a timely or short time fashion. And the only way to fix it, try and fix it together, to work hand in hand, so that they can get the sport of hockey back in a healthy place. I'm not suggesting that there wasn't some tough conversations. There had to have been. But I don't think that they were overly concerned with what baseball was doing. I don't know if amused is the right way, but I think that they would recognize, as all of us have, that there's the wrong way to do it, and that is to have, you know, all of the public outcry and the scrutiny and the negative publicity that has been earned by Major League Baseball in this process. Guaranteed hockey wanted no part of that.
Well, some of the players spoke out, Dregs, and they were like, oh, we don't want to go. And Justin Williams in Carolina is worrisome of players testing positive. When they ratify this return to play and the new CBA, will the Players Association and the league put out the numbers saying 95% of our players voted yes or no or whatnot? Will we know that? I think that will be telling to me anyway.
Yeah.
If everybody was on board.
Yeah, I don't know that either the Players Association or the NHL would know, you know, what the vote was beyond majority. But, you know, we're going to dig around. We're going to poke around. And you know, there are going to be Players Association sources, be it, you know, player representatives, player agents, you know, go down the list that will acknowledge that, yeah, it was a majority, but it wasn't an overwhelming majority, or it was an overwhelming majority. So we could see percentages. I'd be a bit surprised if it was broken down that specifically in numbers. But to your point, Marty, I think we're gonna have players who opt out. They are, and for their own personal reasons, where, you know, be it their own personal safety or the safety of family members, whatever. I mean, I think we'd be naive to expect that there aren't going to be players. I don't think that there are going to be a big number of players, and I don't know what my read is on that. And maybe that changes in the days ahead. I know we're not that far away from the opening of training camp, which is July 9th. But I can tell you that these are nervous days for the NHL and for the Players Association, because you have to monitor and pay attention to the numbers that are staggering in the United States. I mean, it's staggering. And then, you know, Edmonton is, you know, a hub city, haven't officially been named as a hub city by the NHL or the Players Association. But then they've got an outbreak in an Edmonton hospital that has some pretty significant numbers attached to it. So now the NHL is going to work there. The NHL, the PA, just want to get to Phase 4. If they can get to Phase 4 and get to the hub cities, then they feel like that's going to be the safest place for the players, for the personnel, for all involved. But they've got to get there. They've got to get there. And so it's not just the league and the PA that are monitoring everything that's going on with the coronavirus. Obviously, individual players, especially those with underlying conditions, or veteran players like Justin Williams, who've been around, and they can read the tea leaves, and they've got family that they have to consider and be worried about as well. You know, they'll make their decisions when the time comes.
Yeah. How about the third and fourth goalies that are going to have to go and maybe ride this thing out, and they may not even play?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be tricky, to be sure. But you're right, they may not play. But who doesn't think that there is going to be a pretty high number of muscle pulls, groin strains, all of that kind of stuff? I mean, you guys know this better than I do, of course. I mean, there's a big difference between skating somewhat casually, even though these guys are trying to train as hard as they possibly can, and then being game ready. So, you know, expanded rosters, You know, that's why they're going to do it. And maybe that, you know, applies to the goalies as well, who might have the toughest position after such a long layoff.
Dregs, I detect a little skepticism in your voice.
In what sense?
Just in the sense, and I'm yeah. I'm very much the same way. Like, one of the questions I have is, and it's not just for you, it's for everyone. When will we actually believe that this is actually going to happen? Because, you know, Bob McKenzie, as you've touched on all of this, but all the concerns, but he's brought up the travel. You know, how many more cases could we see? You know, a guy traveling and then you get inside the training camp and then you test positive, and does it spread through the team? Like there are still a lot of, like, there's not much wiggle room here.
No. And you're right. I am a bit skeptical. And I think you have to remain that way again until game one is played. Until we get to August 1st and they're playing games. And, you know, then what happens when somebody, whether it's a player, personnel, you know, some of the help staff that are going to be massive numbers of people who are involved in this process, what happens when there are positive tests inside that Hub City environment? How is the NHL going to respond to that? Provincially, how is Alberta going to respond to that? How is Ontario going to respond to that? So I think it's fair to be somewhat skeptical. But I'm reminded of a conversation I had with Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley very early in the process. And he said, look, you know, if the health authorities who are guiding us through this process told us point blank, look, if there's a positive test in the Hub City, in the safe environment, then you have to shut down, we probably wouldn't engage. And this is going back several weeks now. You know, he made that comment. So there's a level of confidence in me that pushes away the skepticism. But what if it's not one or five or ten tests? What if it's an outbreak in one of the hub cities and in one of those environments? Then what does the NHL do? What do the health authorities, you know, be it Health Canada, again, the province of Alberta, the province of Ontario, the CDC, who? I mean, what if these groups swoop in and say, we can't do this? You know, that's not just specific to hockey. That can be specific to the return of any of the sports we're seeing now. So there's the reason for my skepticism. I want to see the NHL, you know, get through 1920. That's what I want to see. I want to see them get through 1920, go into the mini break, and then see if there's a second wave, as many continue to predict, and then how the league will have to respond at that point. So that's where my skepticism comes from.
How likely are we to see December 1st as the start of the 2020-2021 season then?
Yeah, I mean, fairly likely. And, you know, the League and Players Association feel like that's an adequate break between the conclusion of 1920 and the start of 2021. And, you know, they can get their business done. And if there's a second wave, and who knows if there will be a second wave. I mean, the experts seem to believe that there will be a second wave, but we're still in the first wave. And the United States is definitely still in the first wave. So again, not to plant the seed of doubt, but what if that second wave, you know, hits in November? Then all of a sudden you're pushing things back again. There's no way of predicting that. The National Hockey League certainly can't, you know, sit around and sit idle and not get their work done and plan accordingly. So they feel comfortable that they'll be able to go, you know, the start of the 2021 season, December 1st. But, you know, comfortable in the sense that they'll be able to start, or comfortable in the sense that they'll be able to start with at least some fans allowed in the building? Or are they comfortable enough with going with fanless hockey for the foreseeable future? I mean, those are questions that just don't have answers at this point.
TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger joins us on the show. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter. My last question for you, you're very dialed in. Have you heard of any players, notable players, potentially opting out?
I have, and I can't disclose the identity. I wouldn't. No different than, and maybe I'm in the minority of the journalists out there. You know, Steve Simmons seemed to be offended when he didn't get the appropriate acknowledgement for outing the Toronto Maple Leaf player. Until these players make that decision and alert their team, I don't think it's my position or the position of anyone reporting on it to speculate. But I have heard of one fairly high-level player, yes, who may or may not opt out. And look, his representative told me that he hasn't officially made his decision yet, but assured me that when he officially makes his decision, that we'll find out. So this individual player is certainly contemplating it, as he has from the onset of the virus.
There's been a lot of dates thrown at me. What's the deadline for that decision?
Well, July 13th. I mean, that's been established in the return to play. Now, is it something that the NHL Players Association can extend and can further contemplate? I believe they can. It's on a case-by-case scenario, but July 13th was established as a date for the opt-out for the players.
Fascinating stuff as always, Drakes. Thanks. We'll keep dialed in. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, boys. Stay well and stay cool. It's a hot one as we talked about the onset of the conversation.
Drink your water. Drink your water. Every Friday right here, 11:30, you can catch Darren Dreger. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, and he's the Hockey Insider. We'll be right back. Final segment for today. And just a little reminder, Paulie Hamill's been on the show. You can go back and listen to it. We'll sign off with him after the break.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, it's been a great day with you, Paul. Thank you very much. Anyone who's been tuning in, Paul Hamilton has been joining us the entire show.
Thanks for having me. And once again, I'll be on Channel 2 this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, 6, 10, and 11.
I'll be watching.
Where do? You go into the studio or do you do that at home?
No, do it from home.
Nice.
2 minute
nice.
Warning.
I like it.
So, Paul, where are you? Are you a believer we're coming back to play hockey? Do you think we will see hockey on August 1st?
I think if they can get to the bubble, we will see hockey. But they got to get there. And I think once they get those two conferences in the bubble, then I will believe that there will be a likelihood of hockey, but not until then.
That's a pretty good assumption. I will say yes, there will be hockey, although I'm intrigued now. Who is the player that Dragsay is thinking of maybe opting out? We haven't heard many of those. Like, we've heard it in NBA and players opting out and, baseball. But, we haven't heard in NHL anybody saying they were going to opt out. So I'm intrigued at that. And if that leads to a trend, is there other players? Once somebody opts out, is there other players that will opt out? That's interesting to me.
Last minute of play in the show.
That was I wasn't expecting him to say that.
And he relinquently, or how do you say it, approached it. He's like, am I going to say it? I can't tell who it is. I'm just going to, it's the Instigators. Let's throw it out there, right? So that
I think if it's a significant player, definitely other players will follow. Some other players will follow suit.
You want another shot at that word, Marty? Take a nice... roll into the weekend on a good note.
I gotta read it. How do you spell it?
Is it reluctantly you were looking
reluctantly.
For?
Reluctantly. Reluctantly.
Okay. You are American now.
Yeah. But hey, do you like my background, by the way?
I do. It's Harry from Dumb and Dumber. Bone, yeah. You're the man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can we do this again soon?
Oh, would love it.
Okay, Paul Hamilton. We'll figure out a time. One Bills Live next. Have a safe weekend, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.